gracious Heavenly Father, our Lord, the never drying fountain, the Lord who can give us the living water, the Lord who can soak us in the oil of joy. Only the Lord who can anoint us by the power of the Holy Spirit to serve you according to your will and pleasure, and to understand the greatness of you, O Lord, and to know our life that is nothing but a vapor on this earth. But Lord, yet you blessed all of us to receive that grace, that mercy, to live a life that glorifies your name. And Lord, we pray, may you come in the midst of us today and speak to us, O Lord. Bless us, Lord, and anoint our ears, our mind, our thoughts to listen to what you want us to listen and eat and drink, that we may manifest the life that glorifies the life of Christ. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. We thank the Lord for the wonderful worship. We bless the name of the Lord for every day of our life. Book of Isaiah, chapter 61. It's a very famous chapter to the point whereby it is used in many occasions just for people to encourage themselves that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. We can do this, we can do that. We can raise the desolation and repair the waste cities. We can preach the gospel, the good tidings. We can do so many things for God because Jesus said, you will do greater things than me. That is curiosity, that is desire, wanting to do something for God or wanting to do something mighty, great things for the Lord, because it gives you a feeling, good, we are good and our life is great. And we can do so many things for God. So we try to find some gratification, satisfaction, just to fill our heart that our life is righteous. Isaiah 61 talks about Jesus Christ, not you, not me. It is purely a chapter that glorifies the Son of God, who alone received that fullness of God that dwells in him completely, to the point whereby there is no one go to the Father in heaven other than going through him. The only way, amen, the only truth and the only life, by means the Father in heaven redeeming his lost children back to him. God manifested in flesh, justified in spirit. That is Isaiah 61 and Isaiah 11. But in that blessed assurance of salvation, redemption, fruit of the Holy Ghost, the purpose of the anointing of the Lord has been given to his children of God because of the resurrection. If there is no resurrection, Isaiah 61 is a promise that you can see from a far distance, but you can never ever taste it, experience it, touch it. And Jesus said, when I ascend, the power of God will be given to you. When I do this, the Comforter will come, the Spirit of Truth will come, and he will guide you what you need to do. He will guide you. What is the purpose of the Lord revealing the scripture to you? So Isaiah 11, we focused on the roof of Spirit of Christ and the power of resurrection. Why? The anointing destroys the yoke. The power of the anointing not repairs the yoke, destroys the yoke that it did not exist. It was erased because God is a consuming fire. The anointing of God is also a consuming fire. It gives light to the Gentiles, gives light to the children of God, and it destroys everything else. So 11:1-2 talks about spirit of wisdom and understanding. knowledge and fear, counsel and might. The way the six words are paired up, it is so precise. It is so precise like Old Testament and New Testament. Correct? We can say they are two different testaments, or we can see in spirit and we can understand the Lord changed the old covenant into a new covenant the same way Christ changed the water into wine, so that that water can become wine to be served in the feast. Now, spirit of wisdom and understanding, because if I know Christ, who he is to me, who I am to him, I receive the knowledge of Christ. But Christ, our Lord and Savior, the Holy One, is also called the wisdom of God. In order for me to receive wisdom, I must receive himself. And he is called the glory of the Father. In order for me to receive the glory of God, I must receive himself. And the Bible says, they that feared God above many are called the chosen ones of God. So in order for me to receive the divine, holy fear of God, not the philia, fear of death, punishment, fear of going to hell, that is the fear of the world, not the fear of the word of God. In order for me to receive the fear of God from the word of God, by the Spirit of God, again, I must receive the Son of God. Because everything that we talk about, it is in him. But most of the time, we ask the Lord, give me this. You just stand far away from me. Just do your business. I can handle myself. I'm sick. Just heal me. You can just stay away from me. It's perfectly fine. Oh, I want this gift. Just give me how to do the fortune telling. You just stay far away. Spirit of Christ, power of resurrection, these two, telling all of us, you cannot separate yourself from your groom. You can't isolate yourself from the Creator. You can't detach yourself from the one who made you, formed you, saved you, who granted you the grace to serve him. It is all in him. That is why when Abraham was listening to what the Lord spoke, I am your exceedingly great reward, the Lord tested him again. Is it me or your son Isaac? When he told this, it's a different story, right? But when he tested him, Abraham understood what exactly the Lord asked him and why exactly the Lord asked him. We wait for something for a very long time, and the Lord gave you, then we forsake the Lord. Why? The human mind is all about selfishness and selfishness and selfishness. As long as we get what we want, we do everything for the Lord. The moment he gave what you want, that level of first love will start go down, decline. The level of sincerity will decline. The level of fear of God will disappear slowly. Why? He gave you what you wanted. And the Lord will say, sacrifice everything I gave you. To test us, do we love him or do we use him? So the anointing that comes with wisdom, understanding, knowledge, fear, counsel and might. Counsel, which is the gift of counseling with God, conversing with God, communicating with God. Not in the way people today say that I was speaking to God and he was telling me this. Not in that way. Let's understand whom we are talking about. And let's understand who he is for us to speak of his name so frequently, to the point whereby the scripture will come and tell us, do not offer the sacrifice of fools. Remember the scripture, book of Ecclesiastes? The king who received the wisdom, he tells us, I have hosted so many feasts for the Lord. I have given so many sacrifices for the Lord. And the Lord taught me, don't you dare to offer me the sacrifice of fools. So how can we ensure that we receive the anointing of God in the purest form, in the Word of God, in the purity of the Spirit of God, and most importantly, how I execute the anointing of the Lord according to His will, as it is written in Isaiah 61. Last Sunday, I mentioned very explicitly, the anointing of the Lord has been abused, profaned, misused in many ministries by enjoying the way they see people falling on the ground, crying, laughing, screaming, and they feel, earthquake, spiritual earthquake is happening. Lightning, thunders I can see in the church. Every single time the child of God is misused by any vessel, that vessel cannot boast that I am a vessel of God. The lame who was seated, the Lord honored him by making him to stand. The Lord would not push down a child of God who is already standing and laugh at the weakness of the child of God. That is not the God Almighty whom we serve. He calls us, you are my apple of my eye. The way the Father in heaven loves the children has been misplaced by the ministries and the ministers in the name of misusing them, abusing them, by letting them go crazy and tell them, this is the anointing. This is the purest form of Holy Ghost anointing. Are we sure? Have you seen in many churches now, during the sermon they play music for what? To make people to feel so sentimental and sympathetic? Why people want to introduce music during the sermons? Why? Because they could not touch the people in their vulnerabilities. They want to create a feeling to stimulate your senses and to feel so sentimental. And we mistake it for anointing of the Lord. You know, when God stands in the congregation, people will cry because of the need of repentance before His holy presence. But what happens today? People laugh. They laugh. And they scream and they throw everything and say, this is the power of God's anointing. Which means your flesh is a glorified flesh. Same as what Christ was transfiguring in the Mount of Transfiguration. In the holy presence of God Almighty, flesh will tremble. You will fall as dead. Not laugh and profane His name. Why? We have to understand the power of anointing. Because it comes with the fear of God. But the fear of God is gone. The need of repentance is gone. What is left? Signs, gifts, miracle, proclamation of victory, screaming. And Apostle Paul says, if you say a word in the great congregation of the Lord, make sure it profited something. Did he say that? Let everything be done in decent and in order. What is the order? The perfect will of God. What is decent? Reverence, honor, humbleness, humility in facing the beauty of the holiness of God Almighty. So Spirit of Christ, power of resurrection, we have meditated these two beautiful inspiration lessons that we want to eat. But today, we will go into the reason why we meditated on anointing, purpose of anointing, death, purpose of death. Because the purpose of death was resurrection. And the purpose of resurrection was redemption, reconciliation, salvation, and give the comforter to the children of God who did not have it in the first place. Isn't it? So today, by the grace of God, Isaiah 40 and Job 38 to 41 will be the foundation for today's sermon. Why? We have to understand whom we are talking about. Because many places, even in end time message ministries, people use the name of God for literally, absolutely everything that happened, that happens, that may happen. And we need to receive the true understanding of whom we are talking about by understanding from how He guided His holy prophets, not the unholy, wicked enemies. I'm talking about mighty prophets of that generation who faced the glory of the Lord face to face and how they manifested. That is Isaiah 11:61. You would see the word in their life. That is how the Lord glorified his name. Amen. Isaiah 40. Let us go from the greatness of God first. Book of Isaiah chapter 40 verse 12. And let's see how this word of God leads us to the title of today's sermon. Chapter 40 verse 12. Who had measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? One big long question which cannot be answered by any man on the earth. Why? Even for me to say it was made by God, God will ask you, who are you to speak of me? Or he would not even regard what he said. Why? Can I simply stand on earth and say, you know the sunlight, the yellow color big sphere of ball, the one that is always burning, I own it. You can see so many things, but the sun don't even flinch an eye. It is not about what we talk about God, it is all about what thinks about you. Amen? And it is all about what has purposed in his divine will concerning your life. So Isaiah 40:12 asks a question which is nothing but Job 38, 39, 40, 41. There are four chapters God asks questions. To tell Job, just make sure the generations after generations, when they come, they understand who I am. But people don't understand. Why? Keeping the fear of God is a rebellion against the pride of flesh. The pride of flesh don't like the fear of God. Correct? Because there is a fear of God, there is no room for pride of flesh. Now 12, remember the verse, God is asking through his vessel to all of us a question. Verse 13, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor that hath taught him? And verse 13 goes straight to our heart. The Lord is asking, are you my counselor? Are you directing me? There is a difference between interceding and pleading and directing. God, I want this. That is directing God. And the Lord would say, as if I'm listening to you. The Lord says, who are we to direct him? What is direction? The one who holds the control of a ship. They can change the direction. But we are not in charge of the ship. The ark of Noah had nothing to maneuver. It will do what the Lord want it to do by the power of the flood that was sent. That is a water current. Amen. The leading of the Spirit underneath the ark guides the ark, not the hands of Noah. The Lord is asking, are you my counselor? Because he has a name, the Wonderful Counselor. And the wisdom of God's counsel established in the fellowship of God, because God said, I will dwell in the midst of you. It's talking about him. Verse 14. With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and shewed to him the way of understanding? A complete way of insulting us in a divine way. A beautiful way of humiliating us in the perfect will of God, so that we can tell ourselves, know thyself. Amen. God is asking a question for generations. Who is there to teach him knowledge and to teach in the way of understanding? Now you see what Isaiah 11 says. Spirit of God, rest upon me. For spirit of wisdom and understanding, spirit of counsel and might, spirit of knowledge and fear. Do you see all six here? Of course you can see all six here. Because the Lord is asking. That means you don't have it in order for you to have it, you must have me, the Son of God, who gave himself for us. And we receive him, eat the bread and drink the wine, to be filled by the Spirit of God. But most of the time, our flesh wants to be filled by knowledge of Scripture, which is nothing but being a theologian. Hey, I can close my eyes. From Genesis to Revelation, I can tell all the words. What a spiritual anointing, man. Nothing. People can do it. But there are people who may not know the Scripture well, but they can glorify God far higher than those who are theologians. Where there is meat, there is a room for you to be choked to death, because you eat a lot of bones. It will kill you. But where there is humbleness to be the child of God, who always want to be fed only by the Creator who made the child, they will eat the manna as the fresh manna every single day. Why? The Lord never gave them yesterday's manna. He always gave them today's manna. Why? In order for you to live tomorrow, you should be alive today. And the Lord knows, my grace is sufficient to thee. What you need for today, I will give you today. Expectations of people is the perfection of flesh. The divine perfect will of God is the only way we can attain the perfection in spirit. Now, the questions that we see in the book of Isaiah, chapter 12, 13 and 14, we will leave it there as a question, because it is for us to answer. It is not Isaiah's duty. Because Isaiah has done the exam so well, when God called him to serve him, he said, I am undone with unclean lips. I am not worthy to serve you. He surrendered and God washed him before he put him into service. He sharpened the arrow before he put the arrow in the bow. Which is the bow? The will of the Father in heaven. He released the bow and the arrow will hit the target without unwavering. No turn to the right, no turn to the left, no going backwards. Now, from here, let's continue the next verse, which is 18. I encourage you all, whatever the chapters that we read today, I will not read all the verses, but I encourage you all to meditate on all the verses of the chapters that we meditate today, because it's a very important time for all of us to embrace what the Lord wants you to do. Verse 18, to whom then will ye liken God? Next question. Is there anyone whom you will compare myself with me? Whom you will compare God in a place of some other power of man or your family or the ministry or a messenger? The Lord says, do you want to try? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? He's asking, tell me what likeness you will compare unto him. Because in the Garden of Eden, the book of Genesis, the Lord says, let us make a man in our image and likeness. So we are created in his image, in his likeness. And the Lord says, tell me what is the other likeness that you will compare with me. Because creation cannot outsmart the Creator. But people do that, thinking that they are doing that. Verse 19, the workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. What is silver chains? The children of God, the words of the Lord, purified, refined, washed thoroughly, seven times like silver, right? What is silver chains? What is chains? Verse 20, he that is so impoverished that he had no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. From here, read verse 25. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Again he asked, tell me, what did you find to the point whereby someone replaced me in your life? Someone's love replaced my love in your life? Someone's guidance replaced my guidance in your life. Someone's demands replaced my perfect will in your life. That is the deeper question that can come along with this single verse. We can ask so many questions to us. Am I keeping God in the first of my life? Or there are some mediators between me and Him? Now from verse 25, now let's go back again and read verse 21. Verse 21. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? This is the verse that Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which from the beginning that we have heard, seen, handled the word of God. That is exactly what you read here in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 21. Have ye not known, which was revealed later, seen later, experienced later, understood later? Now, verse 22. It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Verse 23. That bringeth the princes to nothing, He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. So those who were accepted as judges in earth, the Lord says, I can make them as nothing, and even to let them pursue vanity after vanity, after vanity, after vanity, throughout their whole life, profiteth nothing. Did He say that? He beautifully explained that in the book of Job, as we will continue. So now, book of Isaiah is still asking questions as we continue from verse 26. Verse 26, the Lord asked a question already. Tell me whom you will compare myself to, and tell me whom you will liken. Verse 26, lift up your eyes on high, and behold who had created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, not one faileth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ explains His will by saying, I came from heaven to do the will of my Father, that not one sheep will lose from my hand. I will not lose a single seed of God. I will redeem every one of them. Amen. And now it says the power of God, because of that, none faileth. Because God cannot fail. And what is the power of God? The Spirit of God. And what happens when the Spirit of God rests upon you? The anointing of the Lord. And what happens when you are anointed? To do what the anointing wants you to do. But what happens, your flesh will say, do this, do that, run here, run there. And the Lord would just let you to go on your own valley. To teach you a lesson of true repentance and true change. Because the Lord says we are changing from glory to glory. That doesn't mean that we are glory, we were glory, we are always glory and go to glory. No, we were glory because we were in His mind. Then we fell into unholiness, filthiness, wickedness, sins, mistakes after mistakes, rebellion after rebellion, disobedience after disobedience. And the Lord says, I will put you back where you belong. And that fall and that rise comes with the power of the resurrection. Now, if there is no falling, there is no rising. If there is no crying, there is no smiling. If there is no darkness, there is no light. If there is no death, there is no life. If there is no descending, there is no ascending. If there are no sinners, there is no Savior. Everything has its own role to play, but not for us to be complacent and escape. So the questions that we read in book of Isaiah finishes by saying, verse 27 and 28, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, Jacob is the father who received the name as Israel, but Israel became the name of the nation. So the Lord make a clear distinction. What sayest thou? Why, O Jacob? And speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. The Lord says, be watchful of your tongue, what you speak, the tongue that no man can tame. That uncover the nakedness of the heart is not circumcised by the Holy Spirit. This question follows by verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? He that keepeth Israel, neither sleep nor slumber. Fainteth not, neither is weary. Then why Jesus said to the woman near the Jacob's well, I am weary? Was he lying? No, he was not lying. He was in flesh. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 should never ever depart from your heart. God manifested in flesh, justified in spirit, seen, received up to glory. He says that neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. There is no searching of his understanding. If at all we tend to search, by all means, you can spend the whole life. But the Lord said clearly, there is no searching of my understanding. Because why? His understanding is a mystery. It's a secret kept by the power of God only to be revealed. He is not playing hide and seek games. Amen? He has no business in playing games with the children of God. Because we can't play with the fire. He is the fire. But the Lord says, don't you dare to search my understanding to speak on behalf of me. If you do so, he will just let you be what you want to be. That is the worst punishment that can happen to us. Instead of him chasten us instantly, rebuke us instantly. If you let us be what we want to be, our life is done. The Lord says, I repeat, there is no searching of the understanding of the Lord. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The Lord says, you can't search my knowledge. I must reveal myself to thee. The apostle of Gentiles, the first messenger of the first church age, did he search and found Christ? Christ found him on his way back. He did not even think about it. He had no clue what's going to happen to him. That is the true calling of God. But what happens today? I am called of God. Hey, God called me. Proof, certificate number one, certificate number two, from this ministry, from that ministry, from this man, that man. I have 12 proofs. Do you believe me now? Or you don't believe me? Wait, I'll take some more time to come and prove you. Not the calling of God. Who are you to speak that God is real? But the Lord says, live a life where people can see me through you. The true calling is to live and show the life of Jesus Christ, not to boast in the knowledge of who is Jesus. Do not forget, the demons, when they saw Christ, they ran to him, knelt down, and they screamed at him, Son of God, why are you here? Am I right? The demons know who he is. There is no way you and me can boast, hey, I know my creator. The demons know. The devils know. Heaven and earth knows. The hell knows who he is. Because he don't need an advertising agency. When he says, it is I, everybody will fall to the ground and they can't even stand up. Because why? He is holy. It is not about what do I know about Godhead in the scripture. It is all about, do I have that glory of God in me? Do I bear the fruit of the Holy Ghost in my life? Do I live a life like Christ who removed his garment, knelt down, washed the feet of his disciples? They are his creation. Because everything is created by the word of God, in the word of God, through the word of God, for the word of God. And yet he humbled himself and washed the feet. He showed how to live. Why? There is none can show how to live. It has to be the life himself. Amen? Now, because Isaiah verse 28 ends by saying, hear the conclusion of this matter. There is no searching of his understanding. Amen. Now let's continue from here. Romans 11, 33, 35. What a life of servanthood by Apostle Paul. The name of the Lord is glorified in the life of Apostle Paul. Chapter 11, verse 33. Chapter 11, verse 33, Romans. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. So here we come again, the wisdom and the knowledge of God. But again with a question. Every time you see a question, be prepared to be humiliated by the holiness of God. It is good. There's nothing wrong in that. Amen? It is better to be humiliated by His love, by His holiness. It will keep us humble. A question is asked, there is none can answer him. If at all he asks a question, it means the question will live forever for all of us to be reminded of who he is. It follows by saying, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Isaiah, Apostle Paul, they are team members from the same team. Speak the same, but they never had a phone call to confirm one another. They were many years apart, but Apostle Paul spoke exactly what Isaiah spoke, which is, there is no way we can find his ways. Let us be very clear about it. And there is no way you can search his judgments. The one who was judged to death by the Romans, the Lord said, surprise, I'm taking him to heaven, paradise, now. Today is the day he's coming with me. And the Lord tells everyone, my judgments are not your judgments. My ways are not your ways. Verse 34. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Again the word counselor is coming. Why? The wonderful counselor, who he is, has been receiving wicked counsel from people who claim that God is working through them. But the Lord is not hearing those. And the Lord is repeating, who is there for me to be counseled? And who is there for me to expose my ways to them, for them to find what I'm going to do? Verse 35, who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him, are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So book of Romans spoke what we read in book of Isaiah in three verses. Verse 33 to 36. Mind of the Lord is unsearchable. Amen. The unsearchable mind of God. Unspeakable love of God. Immeasurable goodness of God. An unapproachable light of God. In those words, from the scripture, the Lord says, don't try to predict me as if you can approach me, as if you can search me, and as if you can speak on behalf of me. The Lord spoke it. Romans, Isaiah. Now, we need to go to book of Job. But before we go to book of Job, there are a few more stops. We will pitch the tent with the Lord, and the Lord will teach to us through the tent in the Word of God. Let's turn our scripture to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, so that we elaborate more on Isaiah and Romans. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. These three verses that I'm going to read, 13, 14, 15, it must be a permanent scar in our heart for a good reason. Because the Bible says, receive the mark of Christ. Amen? A good scar that reminds you, that keeps you grounded. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, because ye shall know them by fruit. For the day shall declare it, Today is the day. And we live through the day. Because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So last 3 Sundays, I have been telling the verse without missing, so I will tell it again. Test every spirit if it is from God. Amen. I will continue to tell this throughout the sermon series. Because the Lord said, because every man's work will be manifested in that day, and he will try that work in fire to see what sort of it is, what manner of the service, what is the intent behind why you serve me, what exactly you wanted to gain by using my name. And the Lord says, I will uncover the nakedness and I will show you the intent of it. Why? He would not let anyone to preach the gospel that is something different from what was given to the 12 apostolic foundations. If there is one more, 13. 13 means destruction. Correct? Joshua and people of Israel, they circle around the city of Jericho 13 times. 6 days, one times a day, 6 times. 7th day, 7 times. 6 imperfection, 7 perfection, put it together, destruction. What it means? When the imperfect man try to behave like the perfect God, you will fall into destruction. 13. Because 12 apostolic foundations, 12 disciples, 12 tribes of Israel. If anyone wants to say, shall we add one more? 13. Destruction. Can I remove one more? 12 becomes 11. The Lord says, 11. The last time when it was 11, Jesus was killed. Judas betrayed Christ. He turned aside from apostleship. The 12 disciples became 11. The moment you betray, when you sold Christ, you are not counted. When there are 11, the Lord is not complete. And they killed him. And what they did, until the true 12th apostle, Apostle Paul came, they could not wait. They tried so many things, but it backfired. Isn't it? 12. 7. The Lord will never play with the numbers. Because why? It talks about do everything in decent and in order. Do everything in reverence and honor in the fear of God and in order, according to the perfect will of God, who is the King of Kings for all of us. Through the Son of God alone, we all could inherit the promise that we are saints and kings in His kingdom. Amen. So now, Book of Corinthians uncovers, ye shall know them by their fruit, because fruit will manifest. I go to an orange tree, I take the fruit, looks like orange, I bite, it's an apple. Hey, it is genetically mutated. It is not the natural creation of God. You throw it away. The orange tree will bear orange fruit. If the orange tree thinks, oh, I love watermelon, I want to become a watermelon tree suddenly, you will end up being useless. Why? God has made us in His absolute sufficiency. And when we want to be someone we are not, we tell God, seems there is a mistake in your creation. Let me correct you. And the Lord says, oh, who hath directed my spirit? Who hath instructed me, my wisdom? And who hath counseled me? Now, chapter 3 continues to speak about the beauty of manifestation by saying, the fire shall try every man's work of what sort of it is. That is why Apostle John says, test every spirit. Every. Because every work that is done in secret, the Lord will bring it to the light. Verse 14, if any man's work abide which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will do whatever it takes to do the reward. You will fall. Because even before you start the service, you already have received the one who tasked you for the service. He has another name, I am thy exceedingly great reward. But what is happening now is, people don't want him who is the exceedingly great reward, but people want what comes with using his name. Hey, I'm a spiritual person. You forgot. I'll remind you again. I will pray 7 times a day. You forgot, I'll remind you again. The Lord would not smile when you do such things. He won't even, you know, pay attention to those things. Every man's work will be manifested, will be revealed, will be tried by the fire. Hebrew says, God is a consuming fire. And here it says, he shall receive a reward. And verse 15 it says, one of the most painful verse that we all should read and try to eat and drink this bitter, sweet word. Because it is quite painful. I'll tell you why. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. The Lord made it very clear. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. We all need to reflect this verse in our life. And remember why the Lord said, in those days people will come and scream at me, Lord, Lord, don't forget us, Lord. Do you remember how many things we did for you? We did so many great things for you, Lord. We suffered by sweating, crying on our knees, praying, casting out demons, healing people, Lord. Establishing so many things for you, Lord, don't you forget us, Lord. The Lord says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye work of iniquity. What a harsh word for the Lord to speak in that tone. No, the Lord was not speaking this at that moment. He already has spoken about this several times from Genesis to Revelation. What is the intent of you serving me? Tell me. What is the intent of we serving God? To feel good? To build an empire around us that makes us to feel purposeful? And to quench the lust of our curiosity and the heart that always never feels satisfied? You know what it's called? The lust that cannot be satisfied even if it was burnt in fire. The Bible speaks about it. Contentment is all sufficiency of God in my life, in His work, in His will, in what He has given me. The one who always desires after something that they don't have it, they would never ever find it. Even when they die, they would never feel satisfied. Why? That desire is not from God. The Lord says the work of them will be burned, will suffer loss, but in my everlasting mercy, I may redeem them if they remain humble. The Lord put a small door of opening because He still believed in repentance. True repentance. Not the fake repentance. What is fake repentance? We had a good series. Fake repentance is just to play a sympathy game in front of all the people, but deep inside, just be who you are. No change. You know, when Jesus Christ resurrected, whom He appeared to? Mary? Why not Peter? Jesus said, Peter, you are like a rock. I will build my church upon you. Hey, all 11 disciples, take a note. My name is Peter. I am the rock. The Lord said He will build the church upon me. So I am like a firstborn. The Lord resurrected, He appeared to Mary. If Mary goes and tells Peter, hey, Peter, I saw Jesus, you know. I spoke to Him. You saw Him first before me? No way. You, woman, you are full of delusions. He will appear to me first. No, Peter cannot say that. Even before Peter could feel like that puffed up, the Lord broke him into pieces by allowing Peter to deny Him 3 times. If at all Peter stayed alive, it's because of the mercy of the Lord that Peter believed in the prayer of Jesus. Jesus said, I have prayed for thee. That was the only thought running in the mind of Peter. I don't deserve to live because I forsake Christ 3 times, but yet the Lord said, I prayed for thy faith. Let me wait for my salvation. He was humbly broken because of the denial. There was no disciples could boast because everyone forsook their master and they ran away from him, stabbed him in the back. Betrayal, right? All the disciples forsook him and fled. So when all, whatever the Lord did after the resurrection, you could see there is none can boast. Everybody were on the ground of humility. The true feet washing the Lord did in their heart. Because the Lord says, earth is my footstool. Now, what we read here in verse 15 is, he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. We need to find a beautiful example which God himself spoke, so that we can understand what the Lord really wants us to learn. Because King Solomon says, there is nothing new under the sun. Whatever that we do and see, it is all vanity and vanity and vanity. Unless you do something that makes something meaningful in eternity, which has to be led by the eternal Spirit of God. If not, whatever that we do in the name of serving the Lord, whatever that we do in the name of doing so many things for the Lord would say, useless work. The Bible says it. Now let's go and read where it was beautifully unfolded. Job chapter 39. Book of Job chapter 39. The reason why the Lord kept Job in that state is for the Lord to speak of his greatness for four chapters. That is the best thing that can happen to a vessel of God, where God glorifies himself through your suffering and making you a spectacle, right? How many years a lame was insulted, put to shame, he was asking for alms, alms. And the Lord came and told him, forget about the alms, I am thy exceedingly great reward. Now, Job chapter 39, verse 13 to 17. So let's read this before the book of Psalms, chapter 39, verse 13 to 17. So God is speaking to Job, not just rebuking him, chastening him, but basically he wants every one of us to understand the greatness of him that we can't understand, the greatness of him. That is the good understanding, right? The true understanding that we can never get is that we can't understand God is my understanding. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 13 says, gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks? You see how beautiful it is, right? Or wings and feathers unto the ostrich? So beautiful, right? Big, looks very big, very strong. Peacock is beautiful. Ostrich is strong. Some put their trust on the chariots and horsemen, and some put their trust in the name of the Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. Not by the one who runneth, not by the one who willeth of what they want, but the one who sheweth the mercy. Next verse you see, which leaveth her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in the dust. Hey, I just told the birds are very beautiful and strong. And the Lord says, let me put some shame on what I made, so that we all understand what could happen to us. Verse 15, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them. What a beautiful verse written by the life of Job by God. The Lord says, you want to serve me? Do so many things for me. The egg is similar to an intent, right? I keep my intent in my heart. My heart is my eggshell. When the word comes out, the egg hatches. The word comes out. Or I manifest what I thought in terms of actions. And the Lord says, what is the point you lay your eggs on the earth, like the ostrich, which could be accidentally crushed by your feet? What if the beasts are simply running here and there, simply run over the egg and all the eggs are broken and spoiled? The Lord says, that is the wisdom. The feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. And the word peace is the fruit of the Holy Ghost. Can I say, I have peace, but I have no meekness? I have peace, but you know, I'm very short tempered. I have peace, but you know, I will never forgive anyone. I have peace, but you know, I don't like unity. I have peace, but you know, I would never stay with the family of God. And the Lord says, oh, is it? You do whatever you want, bury the egg on the earth, and your feet will smash it. Look at the next verse. She is hardened against her young ones, as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear. Verse 17 is the reason why the previous verses pose a warning. Verse 17. Because God hath deprived her of wisdom. What? Which means the Lord can dry the wisdom of living water from my life, then I will be wise in my own ways, but fool according to His way. The Lord deprived the wisdom out of her for what she did, what she wanted. It says, neither hath He imparted her the understanding. Now you see, Isaiah 11, wisdom and understanding. Remember Job 39, verse 16 and verse 17. Because God can take the wisdom and understanding from your life, you will feel like more perfect, more wise, more holy, more righteous, more than you could ever be. Then by doing that, we will add something extra to the word of God. Then we will embrace what the Lord spoke in the book of Revelation. He that adds something more than what is written, all the curses will be given to you freely. Which means you are not in the way of holiness. But the Bible says, in the way of holiness, beasts cannot enter therein. Amen. Then why the Lord said, you bury the eggs on the earth, the beast will crush the egg. Which means your intents are not aligned to the narrow path of the Lord. Your desires are not buried in the narrow path of the Lord. Because in that righteous path of the way of holiness, beast cannot enter. Why? Two sides, there is fire. People of Israel walking through the Red Sea. Two sides, there is water. It's a symbol of the fire that comes later. Fire. There is no beast in the world that can enter the fire to enter the narrow path. It will be ashes, and the wind of the Holy Ghost will just swipe them away. But if I turn to the right, if I turn to the left, of course, we can have dinner with the beast. And the Lord says that beast will crush your egg, will crush your desire. It will not hatch. What it means? Michal supposed to be a righteous, virtuous woman for David, isn't it? Because she says, I love you, David. I love you, man. I love you so much. In the last prayer gathering, I mentioned why she loved him. Because David killed Goliath. There was no man in the time of Israel who could stand against Goliath. All the young women of the time, they loved him. Why? In those times, those who were courageous, brave, glorified for God would be the top target of women to marry. And Michal wanted to marry David because David was none like anyone. But the same David, when his reputation goes down, Michal becomes complaining, criticizing, grumpy, and told David, I'm not happy with you. You are not up to me. And David said, oh, is it? You will not give a single child to me. Same ostrich, right? Same pickup, so beautiful, so strong. No point. The egg will never hatch a life. Why? David, the son of David, Jesus Christ, has no business in unfruitful work of unholy thoughts. So Michal could not bear the child of David, but the Lord had reserved Solomon even through the mistake of David to teach him a lesson as well, that David should not be puffed up. If David becomes proud, there is no Solomon. If there is no Solomon, who will build the temple? If there is no temple, then who will destroy the temple? Why? God maketh, He destroyeth. And in doing all of this, He will teach the children, the only absolute is, I am who I am. And in the process, He will test the people, do you love the church or God? Do you love the building or God? Do you love the work of your hands, which is worshipping you yourself, or the fruit of the work of your hands? That is why Stephen stood tall as the true servant of God. He lost, but yet he won many souls for God throughout the seven church ages by the testimony of showing Christ in his life, not boasting. Now, Job beautifully explains unfruitful work, which is do so many things but profiteth nothing. Correct? Now let's go to Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. Now this is where I had to wait to read the verse which I spoke, because before we speak about the secret, we should understand why it is a secret. 29, verse 29. This is the reason why the sermon series was given to my heart. One single verse. Secret things of the Lord belongs unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. That is Old Testament. We people in the New Testament, we read it as that we may do that all according to the will of God, in the word of God, by the leading of the Spirit of God. Amen. There are so many Christians, but there are very few faithful followers of Jesus Christ according to what he spoke, by the guidance of the Holy Ghost. It's a huge answer, right? But too boring. Let's keep it short. Christians, if the Lord feels too boring, when he reads the names of us in the book of life, he may say, I will just skip some names, very tired. Then we can just stay back where we are. Now, the testimony of us is not we are different from denominations because we know Godhead. As I said, even the demons know Godhead. Who is the anointed cherub who carries the light, who fell from heaven? The gospel purposely explained the incidents of Jesus casting of demons. Every one of them, they scream, Son of David, Son of God, why you are here to destroy us? There was none rebelled against him. Do you see? Because all things in heaven, all things in earth, below the head, subject to him. Amen? Which means, what happened in Garden of Eden, the serpent knows before he knew. What happened after the flood of Noah, the serpent and nature knows before he knew. How can I glorify God in the serpentine nature that knows things the serpent knows? I can't. But the Christ says, can I shine through you? Can I see my anointing do everything according to my will? Then the Lord would say, you are mine. Because there are so many things happening around us, even especially now, the recent times, the word anointing has been replaced by entertainment. I saw some clips in the last few months. People take selfie and video and cry, look at the mighty Holy Ghost anointing. So the Holy Ghost told you, take your iPhone, go to camera, make a zoom setting, take a selfie and celebrate the anointing of the Lord. Which Holy Ghost? So the Holy Ghost told the people to go for electric guitar, make people to go crazy, throw the chairs, and which Holy Ghost? Which Holy Ghost? People forget God is a consuming fire. They make him as a general physician whom we can say for everything. God told me that Tuesday will come after Monday. Whether you tell or not, Tuesday will come. So God told me, sun will set today evening. Oh, even if he didn't tell you, it will set. But the problem is, what is the purpose? What is the glory? What is the intent? What is the manifestation? What is the fruit of why God spoke to us? Imagine God walking in the Garden of Eden as a visible presence for whom we are created. The glory of God. If there is a tree, the branch is crooked. Do you think the Lord will speak through the tree before make the branch straight? If you tell me, the Lord would tell the tree about other tree, but he would not tell the tree about the crooked branch, that is not the God whom I serve. Isaiah says, Lord, sanctify me. I am undone. I am unclean. The Lord says, yeah, you are right. Then he used him. The judgment of God begins from you. It is the word of God. It will never ever be bypassed by your emotions. Not once. If at all the Lord tells something about orange tree, he would say, hey, apple tree, come here. Let me prune you first. Take the beam out of thine own eye before you even talk about the beam in someone's eye. Why? Maybe there is no beam in someone's eye. The very own beam in your eye seems as the beam everywhere. Why? You see through the beam, right? You see through the, what you call, the some imperfection. Now, the Bible says about the greatness of God, for us to be completely washed thoroughly in His divine presence, because the presence of God has become a mockery. I do not know how many churches you have been, but I have been to many. 2005 to 10, there was not a single denomination I entered, because I was searching for the truth. Couldn't find one. I entered once, if there is no leading spirit, I leave. The last time I was thrown out of a youth ministry was when I spoke something from the pulpit, the truth. The whole congregation became angry, and the pastor came and pushed me from the back. He told me, don't you dare to come to the church again. I said, praise the Lord. And now I'm here. But I didn't say anything wrong. You know what I said? They were mocking the anointing of the Holy Ghost by laughing, screaming, by speaking things perversely, by making sound that can't be understood. I was standing behind the crowd. I could see my heart was groaning. Why I'm standing? It was an overnight prayer gathering. And apparently, out of nowhere, who was leading the prayer asked me to close the prayer. I said, here we go again. I went into the front. I couldn't pray. So I spoke for 5 minutes. I said, the anointing of the Holy Ghost will make the flesh to repent first, not to scream and laugh like as if your holy person fell from heaven. What's happening here? Why people know, roll on the floor, jump here and there, scream here and there? I said, do not copy one another to feel that you are also filled with the Spirit of God. And even some said, I'm coming here because the Lord said, I will receive a healing gift today. Which Lord? Premeditation was never ever part of the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because I said that, that was the last day for me in that ministry. Next day, the Lord gave me a door to come and pursue my higher studies here. Then I realized, when you speak the truth, either the truth separates us from flesh, or the truth separates you from the flesh. I lost my friends, my close friends, just because I said, which I couldn't stop speaking. Why? The anointing should never, ever be profaned. If it is profaned, if you go with it, shame on us. And the Lord would say, I will not clean the shame. Why? You know exactly what I taught you. So today's sermon title, The Mind and the Secret. I can say mind of the Lord, then you will say mind of Christ. Hey, let's go. Let's go, show and love and mercy. Love and mercy, love and mercy. What is love and mercy? Because mercy is misunderstood, love is misunderstood of the world. There is no mercy when the anointing is profaned intentionally for the sake of pleasing people. Galatians 1:10. If I please people, not Christ, then I am not the servant of Christ. But yet we are called to serve the people. How can you find the balance? You cannot. It has to be by the mind of God Almighty, who reveals His secret to you by the anointing of the Spirit, when you humble thyself and seek Him first. Not second. Seek Him first. Remember, I always meditate on life of Adam, because it is not written much about him. Correct? 3 years of Jesus, 4 Gospels, 930 years of first Adam, few verses. That's all. 175 years of Abraham life, few verses, that's all. There was not even a book for Abraham. He was just part of Genesis. Who? The father of all nations. The life of Adam. When God cursed, what happened? The wage of sin is death. He was giving the judgment according to whatever they did, serpent, Eve, and Adam. But I want to ask you, if God tells Adam, you shall stay and continue to tend the garden, I will deal with serpent and Eve, I'll come back to you. What Adam should say? For whom he was created? In whom he was created? By whom he was created? Through whom he was created will decide how the life of Adam shall go. That is why he got Abel, and that is why Abel was killed. And that's why he got Seth, for all of us to understand, the very first man lost his sin to murder. The firstborn of the dead, the firstborn of the church, the resurrection, the Son of God, the only Son, the only begotten Son, was killed, was murdered. First Adam received the name of First Adam because the last Adam said, First Adam, last Adam. What a life. Adam, David, Moses never forgot their name because God was glorifying himself in their names after they died, not when they were alive. Why? God knows what a child can handle, what a child cannot handle. Secret of the Lord. Now, Deuteronomy talks about what is revealed, what is concealed, right? Now, let's read Amos 3:7 to understand if these secrets are called secrets, can everyone claim it? Can everyone say that, no? The Lord said this and said that. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Book of Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Surely, the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. That unsearchable understanding, that understanding no one can search, the Lord says, I will reveal my secret to my servant, to my prophet. The reason why Moses was alone on the mountain, because God decided he'll be the only one who will receive the revelation from me. The Lord revealed the secret, he wrote 5 books. The same 5 books also become the graven image for the Israel, children of God, not to look, not to understand what Apostle Paul wrote. Why? For them, law of Moses, case closed, done. But what was revealed through Apostle Paul? There is no way this crazy man who was sent to Gentiles, a rebellious man who went and sold our God to some other people. I would not read book of Apostle Paul's. That is why revelation are given. When people decide to draw a line up to Old Testament, they would not see New Testament. Those who want to dwell in New Testament, prosperity Christians, they would never see Old Testament. It works both the ways, right? Because people choose what they want to choose. Because Bible is full of bitter. It is not bitter. It is a medicine of life that goes inside, quicken you to be alive. Now, Amos says the secrets of the Lord will be revealed to servants of the Lord and the prophets of the Lord. That is Amos 3:7. Now, let's continue to Job 38 verse. I'm going to read some verses that I have prayerfully chosen because I can't read all the verses. But as I said, I want all of us to read these chapters again. Not as you reading the story of Job, but you reflecting the author of salvation, the story of your life in those 4 chapters. So I'm going to read quickly some verses. Then we will continue from here. Job chapter 38 verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee and answer thou me. That is why I love Adam. All the servants of God, the Lord tells them, be a man like how I made you. Stand upright before me and answer me. And the Lord reminds Job that look unto me, the one who created you. Verse 4. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. The Lord is mocking Job, teaching him by humiliating him. Were you hiding somewhere when I was creating everything, Job? Did you take a photo or video or explain to him how I made it? And Job is listening. Why? When the wisdom of God speaks, we listen in silence. There was no interruption of Job. He's listening. Who will interrupt? Pharisees, Sadducees will interrupt Christ, will ask him questions. But those children of God will wait for the Lord to complete his speech. Verse 5. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Tell me, Job, have you seen it? Have you found it? And Job stands answerless, clueless. He knows what's happening to him. Verse 18. Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if thou knowest it all. If God asks now, NASA will come and say, hey, finally we did it. See, it's not difficult at all. We have the technology to measure the breadth of the earth. There is no God. Let's continue. Verse 33. Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Now answer him. Do you know the ordinances in heaven? Or do you have any power to do something on earth? Dominion. Verse 35. Canst thou send lightnings that they may go and say unto thee, here we are? People try artificial rain so they can create a man-made thunder lightning, because they can make artificial rain. Yeah, they can do so many things now. But the Lord says, can you? Are you going to do it? Or do you have the courage to do it? Do you know what will happen if you touch what I created? Verse 36. Who had put wisdom in the inward parts, or who had given understanding to the heart? Again, wisdom and understanding could not be separated. From Isaiah 11, in the book of Romans, in 1 Corinthians, in Romans and every book that we read so far, wisdom and understanding goes in hand, as if wisdom is the cloud, understanding is a rain that I receive from the cloud. God is spirit, and he anointed me to receive his spirit. And the Son of God is the only thing that the Lord had chosen for us to be redeemed. So now, the anointed. Now let's continue chapter 40. Because 39, we read about peacock and ostrich. Don't forget those two birds, which are a symbol of us, can do unfruitful works. Chapter 40, verse 12. Look on everyone that is proud and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Now, the submission of the servant, Job, to God, it is a result of what God spoke to him before. The Lord was revealing something to Job for him to receive understanding. And now in that understanding, the work of the man is manifested. You see, what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the work of every man will be manifested in the day, tried by the fire, revealed by the fire, some through the water, some through the fire, but all through the blood of Christ. So now, let's continue to read the next verse, which is verse 12. Chapter 40, verse 12 and verse 13, we says, hide them in the dust together and bind their faces in secret. What is this secret? Secret of God is here in the holiness of God, the divine presence of God. And now the Lord comes into another domain of secrets of men. Secrets of people, secrets of the earth, secrets of the flesh. And let's see how he unfolds us. Chapter 40, verse 14. Then I will also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. So I can confess that your right hand can save thee, not save me. Oh, it seems that you are better on your own. Oh, I don't need anyone's support. I am alone. I can do great things for God because God said He is with me. And the Lord says, if we all think that we can save on our own, then Garden of Eden, Garden of Gethsemane should not be at all written in Scripture. Because both the gardens are talking about the desperate love of God for the fellowship of Him with His children. If God was content about the fellowship of Him with Adam, then why Eve? Why Eve, if God and Adam were so rejoicing with fellowship? And why Christ asked the three disciples, Peter, James, John, watch and pray for me, fellowshipping in Garden of Gethsemane, if He is good with alone with the Father in heaven? Now, let's continue verse 14 we just read. And now we go to 41, next chapter, verse 12. Chapter 41, verse 12. I will not conceal His parts, nor His power, nor His comely proportion. Who can discover the face of His garment, or who can come to Him with His double girdle? Who opened the doors of His face? His teeth are terrible round about. So the majesty, the glory of God is proclaimed from the Creator and the creation between them. That's a communication between them. Now let's go to verse 19. Verse 19. Same chapter. Out of His mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Thy word is lamp unto my feet. And that verse, we should see how beautiful that we can take from here. From His mouth, there are lamps going on. Like how the Lord is holding seven lamps. Lamps in His hand, the golden lamp. And fire leap out. Verse 21. Same chapter, verse 21. His breath kindled coals, and a flame goeth out of His mouth. In His neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before Him. That's why I mentioned a few Sundays ago, I love the way Scripture recorded. The father who hugged the prodigal son, he fell on his neck and kissed him. Imagine the Lord says, stand firm, be steadfast, be immovable. There are two things. One, being stiff-necked, full of pride. Another thing is to be firm in the word of God, by the Spirit of God, and stand firm, not moving. But here the word says, the strength in his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. So the prodigal son's sorrow, the Lord hugged him, fell on his cheek, and that sorrow turned into joy when the son was brought into the house. It is wonderful, those words are also read today. The Lord is always moving the family in one spirit. And the joy of the son will bring anger, frustration to the elder brother, right? Because he's a type of Eliab. Correct? Eliab was also angry. When David came down to kill Goliath, Eliab said, go back, man. Get out of the sight. Why? The anointing that Samuel was carrying, Samuel was blinded because the mind of God was not revealed to him. Correct? God did not reveal his mind to Samuel yet. Because God wanted to tell this at the right time, when King Saul fell, Samuel was crying, moaning. Remember this, whenever our heart is crying, moaning, weary, in pain and hurt, God's words, God's ways would not be clear to us. Because our emotions will cloud our judgment. Samuel could not see, the mighty prophet of the generation could not see what God was about to do. He was about to anoint Eliab. Isn't it? Or the Lord said, nay. The question is, why Samuel was not revealed to the secret of God? Because I just read, Amos 3:7 says, secret of God is concealed, revealed to His servants, His prophets. Amen. And Deuteronomy 29:29 says, secrets of the Lord belongs to the Lord, only revealed to those whom he ordained to serve him. Do you know David was a secret of God who was kept away from all things, even at the point of meeting between Jesse and Samuel and the son? David was not even invited. Why? None could think that Samuel could consider this least, last son of the family. He was sent to take care of the sheep, possibly by Eliab. Why? Eliab said the same thing when David came down to the valley. He said, why are you here? Go and take care of the sheep. Why you forsook your roles by leaving the sheep and came here? And David says, my father sent me to salute the brethren. And Samuel thought Eliab is the king of Israel. So Eliab was waiting. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I have waited for this all my life. Give it to me, give it to me. And God said, nay. That disappointment, that jealousy, that anger Eliab carried unto the valley where Goliath was killed. Because the remaining son, God gave revelation to Samuel. Samuel said, no, 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 no. Until God waited for Samuel to ask a question. Is there anyone left? Because God did not say, you will be anointing 8th son David. Because no premeditation in the holiness of God. David was hidden. Which means, the secret of God, David was hidden with some sheep, not revealed to Jesse, not revealed to Eliab, not revealed to Samuel. And God taught a lesson to Samuel. You can be a prophet. The whole people of Israel may celebrate. But to me, without me, you would have anointed Eliab as the king of Israel, who could have destroyed the kingdom of Israel. Because Eliab showcased jealousy and anger in the valley. When David came down, Eliab was so angry. He was scolding David to go back. That was the Eliab God rejected. He taketh away the first, establishes the last. Before you even talk about Saul, David, we talk about Eliab and David. Now that secret was kept away from Samuel. Can Samuel boast, you touch my garment, I will divide your kingdom into two? The Lord would say, when did I tell you? No, you said that yesterday, that is yesterday. Today, what you said is wrong. You would pay the price of what you said. Why? Moses struck the rock twice, right? Can Moses say, I was supposed to strike the rock once, then the revelation came to me. The Lord said, give them one more chance. So I struck twice. The Lord would say, are you lying? Can Moses say, spend 40 days in the mount, checking out glory? There is no way I make a mistake, you see? The Lord says, struck the rock twice, you will never enter the promised land. Because he's righteous. He's not partial. Anyone, everyone will make mistakes when the Lord shows who we are. There is only one who was blameless, sinless. His name is the holy name. The only name that has been given to worship. Now, what we read here in book of Job, we were at verse 19, 21, 23. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. The body of Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What God has joined, let no man separate it. Because why? We are united by the Spirit of God. Remember the title? The wall daubed with untempered mortar shall fall. Why? That mortar is the bond of perfectness put on charity. It is put on Christ. Anything that I use to put my stones together with the cement of my love, my own life, my own emotion, the Lord will just hit, will fall and collapse. And now, here it says, the flesh joined together, firm in themselves, they cannot be moved. Verse 24, his heart is as firm as a stone. Lord, you said you are close with contrite spirit, broken heart. You said the Pharaoh was a hardened heart man. Now you tell yourself you are strong as a stone, or you are treating your vessels to understand something about heart as a stone. The foundation of God the chief cornerstone of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who represents the love of God, and the love of God always goes to where? Your heart. That's why Jesus says two great commandments. Love God with all your heart. First thing, all your heart. When you do that, you embrace the foundation of truth, which is Christ himself, the love of God, the glory of God. When he is in me, greater is he who is in me than who is in the world. And Jesus said, when I am sitting in your heart, blessed is he who is not offended in me, because your heart has become the lively stone of Christ, but yet tender, soft, sensitive to God's voice. But yet it is stone, strong as iron. Why? No one can take you away from his service. No one can deceive you from giving your best to the one who created you. Verse 25. When he raiseth of himself, the mighty are afraid. By reason of breakings, they purify themselves. This is the verse I wanted to continue. The Lord will guide us concerning the vessels of God. What happened to them when they stood before the anointing of the Lord? Do you remember when Christ resurrected? Book of Matthew 28 covers things in a different way than Mark, Luke and John. Matthew says one mighty angel descended from heaven with a raiment of light, and all the soldiers, they saw the angel, they fell as dead. Then Mary came, and what happens next? But in the other gospel, it takes about two men in white apparel were seated on the right side and the left side of the tomb. And the garment that Christ was covered, it was folded so perfectly intact. It is not different things. Every gospel covers which side was revealed to them. Because other side was a secret to them. Why? They wrote scripture based on the revelation of Sprite, the Spirit of God. And that Spirit of God doesn't have to reveal everything through one vessel, but rather he decides what is good for every single purpose of God. Gospels are so beautiful to see the way the Lord used Matthew, Mark, Luke and John to cover the life of Christ. They all speak the same, but give us different flavors of, you know, understanding. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians again, because Job blessed us to cover the greatness of God. It talks about how glorious he is. But now we are good to continue with 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We read chapter 3. Now chapter 2 is good for us to read now. So from verse 9 to 16. So God bless you, brother. Please read this for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 16.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 16. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ears heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
The last verse again.
For who has known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Amen. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So you should remember this. His understanding is unsearchable. That is what we read so far. Just to establish the foundation of how great He is, and that we stand. Then the Lord says, the Spirit searcheth all things. Why? The Spirit is unsearchable. Must be revealed. Every work of the man must be manifested, and every work of what we do, revealed by fire, tried by fire. What is trying? The Lord will test us. He tested Abraham, He tested Moses, He tested David. There is none who can escape from His testing, because we are all tried by the fire. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 3 and 2 gave us the beautiful inspiration of the mind of the Lord is not for any man to easily predict. That is mind. Now let's go through a series of what about the secrets of people. So far we had some good inspiration on secret of God, and God made very clear, I'm not telling you, it has been revealed. But let's look at how people could misunderstand and presume the secrets and what the Lord says. So let's start from Gospel. Luke chapter 8. Let's see what Jesus Christ speaks about, some important warnings. May the Lord guide us. Gospel of Luke chapter 8 verse 17. So let me go through a series of verses in Gospel first. Then we continue. Chapter 8 verse 17. This is spoken by the wisdom, the glory, the image of God. The word of God. Verse 17. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Isn't it? That is exactly what we read in 1 Corinthians. Every man's work manifested in the day, revealed by the fire, tried in the fire. And Jesus says, there is no secret in the kingdom of God. Anything that is done in the name of secret, that is against the scripture, it will be called as unholy secrecy, where the Lord will uncover the nakedness and people will fall in their own secrecy, because it's a presumption of this is right, this is right. And the Lord says, what is right? Let Him decide, the righteous one. Then, chapter 12, verse 2, 3, He continues the same topic. The same topic in 12, verse 2 and 3. Let's see how the Lord speaks. He says in verse 2, chapter 2, I hope you are all there. Verse 2, for nothing is covered that shall not be revealed. I asked a question last Sunday. Am I revealed as a bride of Christ, as a part of Him in the last day? It's a question that keeps us humble, grounded, that keeps us about the reverence and holiness that we should have for the Lord, fear of God. And now He says, neither hid that shall not be known. Verse 3, therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. Why it is darkness? Whatever we speak and we say that does not glorify God, that does not please the Spirit of God, it is darkness. No matter you speak in 12 p.m. noontime, the Lord would say you are speaking in darkness because it is behind the back. But the Lord says it will be heard in the light. Why? He is the light. That is, none can escape from the searching of the Spirit, but the Spirit is unsearchable. Now what it continues, it says, that which ye have spoken in the ear, in closet, shall be proclaimed on housetops. Why? Housetops, remember when Peter preached, 3,000 baptized. For sure, he was standing on a housetop so that everyone can hear. You know, he can listen to what he's preaching. They were all pricked because it was an open field. And the Lord granted them repentance. Because Peter was speaking what they did in secret. Crucify him. Nobody knows I betrayed Christ. No secret. And Peter came, just exposed everyone from the rooftop. Why? On that day, whoever gathered for that gathering, do you think it was a coincidence? The Bible says 3,000 repented. to receive Christ. And then 5,000 repented to receive Christ. So the Lord knows who needs what. And He assembled them for them to receive Him. Now, here, Gospel says about, Jesus spoke about secrecy. And let's read from Matthew. Because in the book of Matthew, the Lord speaks about another secret, which is using His name. And I'll tell you why the Lord spoke this in this manner. Chapter 24, verse 26. Matthew 24, verse 26. Let's read from 25 so that we record the reminder of Christ, because He reminds again. 25 says, "Behold, I have told you before." Then why He is repeating again? Because the words of the Lord, so disobedient, so arrogant, so rebellious, He has to wash us thoroughly, scratch us with His mighty hand, so that the stain can go over and over again by the blood of Christ. 7 times, purified, refined. And the Lord says, "I told you before." I'm not telling you. No, I said. He said, "I told you before. I'm telling you again." What He says? "Wherever if they shall say unto you, 'Behold, He is in the desert,' go not forth. Behold, He is in the secret chambers. Believe it not." What is the secret chambers? Anyone remembers the secret chambers where it is mentioned, the most used chapter? Psalm 91, verse 1. Let's read why the Lord repeated this. Psalm chapter 91, verse 1. It says about what the Lord do and from where He does. 91, verse 1. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." So now you remember what Jesus said? People will come and tell you, "The Lord is in the secret places." Believe them not. Why? They will use the scripture. They will quote the scripture. They will tell what Jesus said, but in a completely wrong time, with a completely wrong intent. And the Lord says, "Believe them not." Lord, how do we discern? The Lord says, "Don't worry. The fire will try. The fire will reveal. The power of His anointing will destroy the yoke." That is why the anointing has to be understood with the fear of God, by the Spirit of God. Now, Jesus spoke all of this. Now, let's go to the weeping prophet, Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Eremiyahu 23. Let's read how this weeping prophet confirms what the prophet who also cried in the Garden of Gethsemane, the messenger of covenant, in the same manner. 23 verse 24. 23 verse 24. "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Saith the Lord. Do not I fill the heaven and earth? Saith the Lord. Let thy will be done, O Lord, as it is in heaven, as it is in earth." Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. He will come, and all earth is filled in His glory, without any hypocrisy and partiality. All earth will be filled in His glory, because He will test every work, every man, every woman, every ministry, every service, every servant, everyone who also rebelled against the kingdom of God, every enemy, everything that breathes will be tested by the fire of the Holy Ghost. Those who are able to enter into the marvelous light, you will be part of the world, part of the fire. Those who could not enter the marvelous light, you will be burnt by the fire. He spoke it. So what do we need? To have the desire, "Lord, reveal thy mind to me concerning my perfection, concerning what I must repent, concerning what is there for me to be pruned, what you have to chasten me to grow to keep myself humble in the word of God. Lord, reveal thy mind to me. But what do we do? Lord, reveal to me what is about this, what is about that, what is about this, this. The Lord looks at all of us. What about you? I'm good. I'm perfectly good. I'm super good. I'm super perfect, you know. Which mirror we see ourselves? The mirror of I am the perfect or the mirror of He is perfect? Now, the Lord speaks in the next verse. He says, verse 25, I have heard what the prophet said, that prophecy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophet that prophesy lies? Yea, there are prophets of the desire of their own heart. If you look at all the denominations going around, you could see the same denominational spirit entering into the true ministries of the Lord in the end time messages by having the urgency to prophesy something for the sake of prophesying, to say something to feel and keep the reputation on path, because it has become a competition. Competition has no room in the reconciliation process of God Almighty. Because of that, what happens? People feel suppressed to do something to please people. Ministries want to do something comparing to other ministries. And the Lord looks at every one of us and He says, who will please me in my spirit? It's a question. And why it is so important? If you look at the way things are happening now, prediction of what's going to happen has become the top news in the ministries. Why? We people are in flesh curious by nature. We want to know certain things. We want to see certain things. We want to feel validated. We want to feel justified. But God says God is manifested in flesh, justified in spirit. But what we do, we are manifested in spirit, justified in flesh. Hey, very nice, right? Timothy 3:16 in a completely reverse manner. God is manifested in flesh, justified in spirit. Let me do a better thing. I am manifested in spirit, justified in flesh. Justification, validation has never ever been part of the redemption story of God Almighty. There is only one who can justify, the just and righteous God. And what He says, 27, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. All the charismatic influences of this world, what they do, they want people to understand, if at all you want to know what God wants to do in your life, I am your cell phone. You ask me, I will tell God, He will tell me something, I'll pass it to you. Because of that, you pay money to me. Money is the root of all evil. I can show you many people who are fortune tellers, absolutely precise, but God is not in them. What an example. Elisha walking with a groaning heart, contrite spirit, broken heart, that Elijah is going and Elisha is following. Also the master is going to be taken away. There are 50 prophets come from Bethel, come from Jericho. They said, hey, do you know, your master is going to die. Your master is going to be removed from you. What Elisha said? Did he bring fire to burn them? It was the Lord who sent the adversary to test Elisha before the anointing was given to him. To the right, to the left. He sent from Bethel, sent from Jericho. What Elisha said? Hold your peace. Hold your peace. He just continued the journey. Why? What is the name of the Lord is glorified by saying Elijah will be gone. I told you, Elijah is gone. As I told you, Elisha said, hold thy peace. Be silent. He said that, right? It was a test God allowed in the life of Elisha before he received double anointing. Not one, double. Everyone is tested. Everyone is tried. In whatever the Lord speaks through us, the Lord will say, what is the profitability of the body of Christ? How it edifies, how it encourages, how it helps the family to press on and to move forward. That is where the Lord says every man's work manifested, revealed by the fire, anointing of God. The anointing of God will expose people. The anointing of God will expose ministries. The anointing of God will expose the intent of the service by letting them do what they want to do. The Lord would simply do nothing. Why? He do not have to do anything now. There is a time for everything. Now continue what he says. Verse 28. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he had my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? What we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Lord will test and try every man's work to see the manifestation of what sort of it is. When John and James asked the Lord, shall we bring fire to burn this sinful village of Samaritans? And the Lord looked at them, tested them, tried them in his will, in his fire. He told them, what manner of spirit are you of? The Lord tested his own disciples who were walking with him so closely, but yet they were influenced by some other spirit, isn't it? It happened to those who followed Christ closely, were influenced by some other spirit. And the Lord says, the word of God is the fire of God that will reveal the work of God by trying, testing, and to see what manner of it is, what sort. Now, let's read Jeremiah 17:9-10. Why he speak like that? Jeremiah 17:9-10. That is why Jeremiah was in the list of the top in the list of to be killed. Jeremiah 17, verse 9-10. Verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That is why Jesus says, transform your heart into me, the lively stone of Christ. Let me be the one who be your defense, to shield you. And says, who can know it? Verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The Lord is not warning about judgment. He's just telling the reality of it. That's all. He don't have to create hype. There is so much hype nowadays for God. Oh, God is going to fill the house. Look at the curtains are moving now. Are you crying? Not crying. Oh, play the guitar so melodiously. Not crying yet. Stimulating. Making people to look like a, you know, mentally challenged, and the enemy is rejoicing to see the children of God doing things that are not good in the sight of God. Where there is no reverence, there is the flesh will dance. Where there is no fear of God, the laughter of men will dance. You can see it everywhere. Now, because of what we read in 17, chapter 17, we shall go back to go back to 23 again. Now you read verse 30. Because the Lord says, I search the heart. Amen. I find why and how and when and where. He search all of it. Then he speak. Verse 30. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words every one from his neighbor. Hey, I only know the commandment, love thy neighbor as you love thyself. And the Lord says, there are people who steal the words from the neighbor. And are you the part of the word? Am I the part of the word? Which words are you talking about? Verse 31, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith, then he hath not spoken. This warning have been forgotten everywhere because of assertiveness. Samuel was close to anoint Eliab. If God did not intervene, Samuel would have been proved as a false prophet, isn't it? Isn't it? God preserved Samuel. And Samuel will live the rest of his life humbly, without him, and nothing. There are so many characters that we are going to meditate concerning the discernment of God's will. That was the sermon series that I was burdened to prepare. But then the Lord revealed to me, without my will, what will you speak? And speak about my will. And that is why we are still in the will of God. Because the will of God is a secret. The mind and the secret is the title of today's sermon. Why? It is not something you can find it. It has to be revealed. If I am so much sure about some emotional thought in my heart, you will be validated by your very own mind, telling yourself it is from God for sure. Every time we think for sure, always tell yourself, there is a chance, for sure you are wrong. David was sure to tell Joab, kill Uriah. David was sure to take Bathsheba. Samuel was sure to anoint Eliab. Moses was sure to strike the rock twice. Every vessel of God, they fell at the point of that surety. Hezekiah fell when the Lord took his hands off. I fell. You fell. We all fell. The moment God's confidence replaced with our confidence. And what he speaks here, verse 32. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord. And do tell them, cause my people to err by their lies and by their likeness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Our heart is burdened to see the ministries outside grow with a multi-billion dollar kingdom, opening branches in every single country, every single street. Because what they do? They heal sick. They prophesy to people. And people believe on them because of their gifts. And they become bigger and bigger and bigger, stronger and stronger and stronger, to the point whereby they become the idol worship for people. So all the denominational churches, those people who are struggling out there, ask yourself why the ministry is so rich, to the point whereby people are scared of the minister. There is only one fear of God. There is no fear of ministry. There is no fear of service. But why people ooze fear into the people? Because they want to keep them in control. By telling them, God will only work through us, not to you. God will only speak through us, not to you. All those false prophets, even you could see there are so many women apostles. Have you seen? There are so many women apostles. I saw it in Australia, in India, in Africa, in US and Canada. All of them call themselves as apostles, and they name themselves as the previous woman apostles who lived in 1960s, 1970s. If I tell the name, YouTube will ban me. I will be wise, but you all know who they are. They have millions of followers, you see. 7 million followers, still counting. How come? The scripture is here, plain and truthful. But people could not see. Why? They were deceived in the vulnerability of their desires. And the Lord tells all of us, deny yourself, I will show you who I am. Stand for your faith, I will show you who I am. Do what is good, I will show you who I am. If not, the revelation of God will not be given to us. We thank the Lord blessed us to be rooted in apostolic faith in this small little vineyard. If not, what we would do, where we would be, I don't know. Without the fellowship of God, where would I be? I don't know. Without the family of God, where would I be? I don't know. What we have is something that we don't realize. How precious it is. How wonderful it is. You go and search what's happening around. I just saw 12 different women apostles in the last 1 month with million followers. Spirit of Jezebel, spirit of Athaliah, spirit of Herodias dancing left and right everywhere. Why? The bride of Christ is at full attack for the great whore of Babylon, deceiving the bride of Christ to forget who she is and to be deceived by miracles, signs, wonders, money, wealth and death, prosperity. If all the true ministries, they claim themselves as called by God, declare your wealth to your congregation, if you have the courage to do so, who are holding multi-million dollar accounts, saying that God has blessed them. There was nothing the apostles kept from the people. If there are people who are watching this from denominations, if you are in a ministry, minister, church, congregation, where you have no clue what they are doing, run away from the trap. the secrets of men will be uncovered by the Spirit of God. And we should seek what the Lord wants us to do. Last two verses. Romans 2 verse 16. Book of Romans 2 verse 16. We go back to Apostle Paul again. Jeremiah was about to be killed. Apostle Paul was about to be killed. And you know exactly why. Romans 2 16. Because they were ruthless when it comes to the word of God. They don't sugarcoat. Why? They know the line between pleasing people and pleasing God, serving people and serving God. They know for sure. Truth. Nothing but the whole truth. Not less, not more. 2 verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. He did not even say our gospel, because he was preaching to people who may not receive the gospel. So he was being very wise. My gospel. My Jesus is mine. My Christ, my Lord, my Master. That intimacy of being part of Christ. He said, according to my gospel. And he wanted them to receive the same gospel he was preaching to them. He said, every secret of man will be judged in the day. That is why the Lord would not uncover them now. All the false teachings, false ministries, those who are following women apostles, those who are following false divination of people who are misleading them. This is what the Lord said, in different churches have becoming more and more similar. Do you see the pattern? Irrespective of denomination A, B, C, D, E, F, now they are all behaving the same. Charismatism, singing like same, speaking like same. They are studying Bible so much nowadays. Because the Lord is showing all of us, they are being united. They are united to wage a war against the true bride of Jesus Christ. The churches of the world will come against the church of God, which is very small, very tiny, no armor, like David standing with 5 stones. Proverbs 25. I will end the sermon with Proverbs and 1 Corinthians so that we end with where we started. Proverbs are the words of wisdom. And let's read what he speaks about secret. 25 verse 2. These are just verses that we'll quickly go through. 25 verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. That is why Deuteronomy 29 says, secret of God belongs to God. Because it is the glory of God. And the glory of God will not be given to anyone so easily. And he says, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Seek him early in the morning and he will come and speak to you. David says, I will go to the house of God and stand in the presence of God for the Lord to reveal himself to me. The mind of God. Chapter 11 verse 13. Let's just compare the secret of God and secret of men. 11:13. Proverbs. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Which matter? Not the one that is not supposed to be concealed, but the leading, the work of the Lord that is purposefully hidden for a purpose. God, who was speaking to Samuel face to face, he didn't even tell to him about David. Why? He don't have to. When there's a premeditation, David could be killed by Eliab. If he knows that David is going to be the one, David could be killed. God protected his secret. Now, chapter 3, verse 31-32. Proverbs 3, 31-32. It is all about where do we stand when we face the mind of Christ. 31, it says, so envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. Amen? Amos 3:7 says, the Lord revealed his secret to his servants and prophets who are righteous to his sight. Not those who self-appointing, self-proclaiming, I'm a righteous, I'm an apostle. There are so many people who want to declare their own title, but the Lord never said so. It was always God who said, Moses, my servant. But people nowadays say senior apostle, senior whatever it is, just to make a distinction of they are not normal, they are special. And 32 says, for the forward is abomination to the Lord, the secret is with the righteous, only the righteous. Now we will all stand as I close with the last, as I said, 1 Corinthians, where we finished where we started. Let's all read this together for the word of the Lord to go into our heart. Because it is not a small thing that we receive the truth. It is not a small thing that the Lord anointed you. It is not a small thing the anointing is manifesting in our life. There are so many things will come against us. We are to be aware of God is testing, trying by fire, and He will manifest and reveal everything by fire. Now let's read chapter 4 verse 1. Let's all read together. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God, that is secret. Verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to the light of the hidden things of darkness and will manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's all pray as I close. Our Lord, our great God Almighty, the Lord whose greatness is immeasurable, the Lord whose understanding is unsearchable. And Lord, may you help us, O Lord, to understand where we stand before thy greatness, before thy unsearchable mind. And Lord, we pray, help us, O Lord, to go through this time of perfection, time of pruning, because the time is near that you are coming, O Lord. You are coming to take us to where we belong. And Lord, we have to focus on soaking in the presence of God. We have to focus on fellowshipping in the Spirit of God. We have to focus on communing together, coming together as a family of God, to abide as the different branches in the same vine, the different parts in the same Word of God. May you, Lord, bless us to appreciate who you are, to hold on to reverence and honor with the fear of God, to pay, O Lord, that living sacrifice of our life that glorifies the mighty power of thy anointing. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom.